Now I'm delighted to welcome to the programme Jane Bushnell. Jane, did I get it right that time?
Say, not quite, Joe. Bushnell.
Bushnell. Is that French, is it?
I think it's French Huguenot many centuries ago.
Very good, very good. Well, you see, we have something in common because my great-grandmother on my mother's side was a chef, and that was from French as well. So there you go. We got a bit of French blood in us.
That's
along
it.
The line somewhere. So we're going to talk about SIPTU members in the union who are urging the Minister for Social Protection, TD, Heather Humphreys, to reverse plans to privatise community and employment services, including the local development companies. What is this all about? This because this sounds very familiar. That happened over in the UK some years ago.
Indeed, Joe, it does sound very familiar. And first of all, you know, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak to your listeners about this matter.
Right.
Because it will affect all communities right across the country. But I suppose to give you a bit of background, the local development companies are things like the local employment service, job clubs, employability, and their community partnerships. And they're all embedded in their communities. They're funded by the state, but they normally have charitable status, and most importantly, they're run on a not-for-profit basis.
Mm-hmm.
So what our members actually do on a day-to-day basis is they work with job seekers and they help prepare them for work. They do things like help them with CVs, with training, help them access things like Safe Pass or fork truck driving. They give career guidance, and in general, they basically build confidence in people who might have been out of the workforce for many years or need to change streams because of redundancy or something like that.
Yep.
So they also help people move into further education. And probably one of the most important things is they also build relationships with local employers, and then they work with those local employers to place people in suitable employment. And suitable employment being something that's obviously very dear to everyone's heart, because if you put people into a job that they enjoy and they'll get satisfaction from, then that's the key to helping them away from long-term unemployment.
Yep.
And to stay in the job. And there's no barrier to using the services. You don't have to be in receipt of a social welfare payment. You just have to be looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
And then our members do a one-to-one personal sort of service where they help them to achieve that goal.
Right, right. So am I right in thinking that's like something that we see in operation not too far from where I'm sitting here in the Northside Partnership?
That's right. It's just around the corner from
yeah.
you. I'm sure a lot of your listeners will know our members who work there.
Yeah, yeah, indeed, indeed they do. Now, so what is the new plan?
So what we discovered just in the last few weeks was that the Minister for Social Protection, Heather Humphreys, has put out a tender looking for consultants who would draw up a new model which would essentially privatise the services.
Mm-hmm.
And that for us is a huge worry. There is a small level of privatisation already existing, and it's profit driven. And where those services have been privatised in the past, there's sort of a rush to place people in jobs, even unsuitable ones, because as well as being paid a fee for each client, they're then paid a fee when they place someone.
Mm-hmm.
So there's less care taken about the job that they're putting somebody in. And
mm-hmm.
if it's an unsuitable job, somebody will be out of it again in a month or two, and except they'll have the confidence even more dented than it already was from being unemployed.
Right.
So we see this as, you know, a serious error on
yeah.
the minister's part.
Yeah. I think you mentioned the one word there, profit. Because I'm going back again, thinking about what happened in the UK there some years ago. And, I mean, isn't this what these companies are all about? They're really, as you said, they're in it for a profit. And the more people that they can get into work, whether the job suits them or not, the better it is for them, because it looks good on their balance sheet, if you know what I mean. Just as a matter of interest, if you go back to what you said there about they would like to get, they'll get, try to get somebody into a job, and if that job or course doesn't suit them, right, they're not happy in it, if they leave that course, does that affect their payments then?
Well, it can do, yeah. If you just walk out of a job and when you go to collect social welfare, if they deem that you have lost the job through your own fault,
right,
you can be debarred for a period.
Yeah.
But sometimes people will actually be deemed unsuitable by the employer as well.
One way or the other. Right, yeah.
One
because
way or the other,
you would know yourself, like if you were in that position and you were sent to, on a course or whatever to a particular job, and you knew in your heart and soul that this is not what I want. It's very hard to to have an interest in it. You know,
absolutely.
What I mean. So, the whole thing is it kind of the one-on-one gone then? Will that be taken away?
Well, they do give a sort of a caseworker, I think, is what they call it, or a personal advisor in the private system.
Mm.
But the ratio of caseworkers to clients would be very high. And the other problem, now there was a report done by the consultants Indicon, which was published in 2018, and what they discovered was that the ratio of caseworker to client was too high, but also that there was a huge turnover of staff because, in general, the pay would be less than those of our members who, while they're not massively paid, they are on, you know, reasonable wages. And therefore, the turnover, because there's a satisfaction in the job they do and they're paid reasonably well, they stay there and they develop a professionalisation, and that doesn't happen in the privatised system because people come in, they realise it's not a real career path,
yeah,
and they leave, and that effectively leaves a lot of clients kind of high and dry because, you know, your caseworker walks away from you.
Yes.
You have to wait until there's another one there, whereas mm-hmm. the system that works in the community structure, there are people there, they're committed, they're professional. They care. They really care.
Right.
And they don't leave.
Right. Hey, who's going to... have you any idea who the companies are that... Obviously, they're all bidding to get this contract. And there are probably several companies bidding to get this contract. Have you any idea who they are, what their record is or anything like that?
Well, I mean, the existing local development companies, of which there are 49, will, I presume, also bid. But the difficulty would be that there isn't a level playing field because they come in with existing wage costs,
mm-hmm.
whereas there are a couple of private companies that have been involved in the JobPath scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And those companies, there was an RTE investigates there last December, and they expressed a lot of concern, and there was a lot of opposition TDs expressing concern in the committee, in the Public Accounts Committee, in terms of value for money and that. So
mm-hmm.
Companies that want to make profit out of misery will bid.
Right,
but then there will also be the existing ones will try and bid, but they will have difficulty.
Yeah, what happens?
It's not a level playing field.
Yeah, what happens if this program comes in? What happens to the people that are working in the likes of, let's say, Northside today, or you know, that are looking after these people at the moment? What happens to them?
Well, that's a huge concern for us as well, because they have jobs, they have entitlements, but if the company loses, initially they're going to be tendering in areas where there are no schemes.
Mm-hmm.
But then towards the back end of the year, around October, all the other schemes will come up for tender. And we could find some of our members facing unemployment, which would be utterly shocking.
That defeats the whole purpose.
Completely.
Totally.
Completely so.
Yeah. You mentioned there about the other ministers. Some of the ministers are taking an interest in this. I was just reading up a little bit about it, about this yesterday, and back in 2014, I think it was, the Minister for Social Protection at the time, Joan Burton, didn't this come about in her reign as well, and she was in favour of it, or am I wrong in thinking that?
Yes, she was, and at the time we did try to persuade her that she was incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Right. Where does that leave the Labour Party now? What are they saying now?
Well, we hope that they have recognised that it was an error with what has happened since, and that they will come on board, and along with other opposition, and hopefully some government backbench TDs would support as well, because some of them are on record in the past as supporting the local development companies and the work they do.
Yeah. And how many people are working in the service at the moment? Would you have any idea?
There's around 350 to 400 across the country.
300 to 350.
So they are right across the country. There are pockets, as I say, where the scheme don't exist. But, you know, you can be talking everywhere from the Northside Partnership around the corner from you to people in Cork, people in Wexford, Limerick, you know, Galway, all everywhere.
Right.
And it's slightly different functions. Employability, for example, is aimed at helping people who have various disabilities to access.
Yeah. And how many people roughly would those 300, 350 people, how many people would they be looking after? Up into the thousands?
Oh, thousands, and into sometimes 100,000 and heading for 200,000. Obviously, when employment improved there in recent years, the numbers did tend to drop. But we're faced at the moment now with unemployment running at about 25%, and youth unemployment is, I think in January it hit 56%, which is a frightening figure. And so it's pretty obvious that some of those, even when the pandemic and the eases and the restrictions ease, some of those jobs will not come back, and there will be much higher unemployment than there has been over the last number of years. And our members are going to be needed, and their experience is going to be needed.
Yeah. Because that's I'm just looking at that now. That's a very lucrative contract to get. And I think my own self that before anything is done, that you really have to sit down and ask the question, what's going to happen to people that are working in this business at the moment? Really and truly, the 300 to 350. You know, they're going to have to be the first priority before anything is discussed.
It's essential, Joe.
Yeah.
But it's also essential that the users of the service are considered.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And they won't be well served,
if
the system changes, because it won't be the same caring function.
Absolutely not. There was a brilliant film that was out. I think it came out about 10 years ago. My name is Eddie something. Oh God, and I was rattling the head last night trying to think of a name of it. And like that, it deals with the time in the UK when they changed over, they privatised all this, all the job seekers and everything else. And like that, it showed that this man, he really didn't matter to the people that were supposed to be looking after him, as opposed to the people that were there beforehand. God, If I knew the name, Jane, I'd tell you, but it's gone from my head. Brilliant film.
If it comes back to you, Joe, you can put it out there, because it sounds very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Well, I can see your mobile number on this, so I'll text you over the next few days if I can come across it. But it's an excellent film, and when we're back next Friday, I'll mention it again. Is there anything else, Jane, that you would like to add to what we've just been talking about?
I suppose, Joe, really, we've asked to meet the minister,
yeah.
And I mean, what we want to say to her is, the system isn't broken. We
mm-hmm.
don't need to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, we see the threat to the local development companies as a sort of an extension of the government's tendency to look to outsource public
mm-hmm.
services. And as far as we're concerned, if this succeeds, it's the thin end of the wedge for the entire community sector, and it would have a really, really bad impact on families and on the community at large.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're hoping that your listeners will come on board
mm-hmm.
and join our campaign and make it clear to their local TDs and politicians that, you know, their community deserves the support it gets from the local employment services, the local development companies, and it shouldn't be treated just as a commodity from which profits can be made.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we hope that they will hear what I'm saying and get angry about this threat.
Right, right. OK, Jane, we're going to leave it there if that's OK with you. And delighted to have spoken to you this morning. And please God, we'll catch up on you again. And as I say, I will source out that film, and I will let you know the name of it. And just for the last time, it's Jane Bushell. Did I get it right?
You, Joe.
Huh?
You did. You got it right.
Thank
God. Thank you very, very much for giving me the opportunity to talk to you this morning.
You're very welcome. And I'm glad I dressed up, because, as you said, you're also watching in online. See that?
I am, and you're looking good, Joe.
Oh, don't say that. You'll get me into trouble. Jane, take care of yourself. Lovely to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.